Blog Talk Radio.
There is only one mother, and she gives herself freely. So give thanks to her. Give thanks to her. And when you have completed your visit with our mother, leave no trace. Leave no trace.
Welcome to Messages of Light. I'm going to take a minute to shout out to Hugh Sprague, who is a mercy worker here in St. Louis, Missouri. He is a wonderful father who lost his son a while back, right after a baseball game, a Cardinal game that he had played. And I just want to take the time to wish Matthew Sprague a happy birthday. He would have been 8 years old. He was an eight-year-old little boy that had so much love. And I have a song I want to play dedicated to Matthew and Hugh today, Sprague, for their birthday. So, Matthew and Hugh, this goes out to you. And, happy birthday, little Matthew, number 22. Here's your song.
All the colors of the rainbow, all the voices of the wind, every dream that reaches out to find the love begins. Every word of every story, every star and every sky, every corner of creation lives to testify. For as long as I shall live, I will justify the love, be a witness in the silence. There's a word not enough. With every breath I take, we'll give thanks to God above. For as long as I shall live, I will testify. Every sinful life.
So that song goes out to Hugh Sprague today, who works for Mercy Hospital in St. Louis. That song goes out to you and your little boy, little Matthew Sprague, who died at 7 years old in the hospital quite fast and was very tough. I released some balloons for Matthew just a few days ago, and it was very touching. We all got together in celebration of Matthew on the 24th. On the 24th, we released balloons for little Matthew and wished him a peaceful journey and rest in peace. We released red and blue balloons in honor of the Cardinals. We all gathered together and did that, and I'm going to release Matthew a happy birthday balloon later on today just for his birthday in honor of him, and I have a red Matthew 22 shirt on. So we're going to take a really quick commercial break and come back with our guest today, who is an animal communicator. I'm going to run a commercial and play a song, and then we'll get started today. So we'll be right back after this commercial break.
We're open for business. The Greater Good Ministries Book and Gift Shop is now open for business, featuring metaphysical and uplifting books from your favorite authors, such as Doreen Virtue, Wayne Dyer, Michael Edward Owens. We've added handcrafted one-of-a-kind jewelry, pendants, earrings, and bracelets, and now have an exclusive selection of crystals, rocks, and stones for your metaphysical toolbox. Take a look at our hand-dug Arkansas crystals, imported Brazilian crystals, Tibetan crystals, and Reiki healing stones. All of our rocks, crystals, and stones have been Reiki infused, blessed, and cleared, ready for use. You can reserve your copy of Crystal Healing 2012 and Beyond, Reverend B's new book, A Comprehensive Guide of Rocks, Crystals, and Stones for the New Age. Visit ggmradio.com and click Bookshop in the menu bar. That's ggmradio.com.
Freak show cops and robbers everywhere. Animals and children tell the truth, they never lie. Which one is more human? There's a thought, now you decide. Compassion in the jungle, compassion in your hands.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Messages of Light. I am your host, Amanda Dowell. Today we have a very special guest, Catherine Hughes, who is an animal communicator. And Catherine is also in St. Louis. She has been working since 1996 as an insurance agent in St. Louis. And 1998, she did some volunteer work for a greyhound rescue. And she started helping with some of the greyhound owners, and it was during this time that she started hearing little voices while she was preparing dog's food. She'd hear things like, that's not how my mom does it, and while she's caretaking for another dog, she'd hear, Dad always turns at this corner. So she thought it was really kind of nutty and wild and crazy, but then she realized it really wasn't that crazy. And I actually understand that very well as well, because I hear animals too. And so I'm glad that Kathy actually explored it further, because she looked into a book by Amelia Kincaid called Straightforward, Straight from the Horse's Mouth. And they really are straightforward. So she read that book, started practicing. And in April of 2004, she had an opportunity to attend a workshop by Amelia Kincaid, and her communications improved. So the more she really worked with that skill, the more she communicated with animals, and her goal is to promote awareness within all of us to communicate with animals, and that we can all quiet our minds and hear animals. And I think that's just really cool. You can find Catherine at catherinehughes.net, and our call-in number is 347-237-5339. And we dedicated a song earlier to Hugh Sprague at the loss of his little 7-year-old boy, Mr. Matthew Sprague, who just died instantly and would be 8 today. So we're sending a happy birthday again out to Matthew. And I just love here what I'm seeing with Catherine, because she offers animal communication classes, and she also communicates with your animal and tries to, you know, even suggest little things that you can do. Okay, so with that, we're going to bring Catherine live to the show and let her tell us more about herself and her workshops and background. Welcome to the show, Catherine.
Hi, Amanda. Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you here. How have you been doing?
Oh, I've been doing really well, thanks. Better and better every day.
That's great. That's really exciting. And I just love how you said, well, I want to teach everybody how to do this, and I do this on a daily basis, and I hear these things.
Yeah. Yeah, because I believe that we really do all have the ability to hear the animals, and I just think it's something that we used to do, you know, years and years and years ago. I think it's time for us to maybe try and get back to that. So that's my mission, kind of, one of my many missions.
Right. Well, I'm just really feeling like that's a pretty cool thing that, you know, you just Doughton heard the dog say, well, my mom doesn't feed me like that, or my dad doesn't do that this way. It must have been really fascinating for you.
Yeah, it was really interesting. I didn't really know what was going on. I thought I was kind of losing my mind. You know, like you had said, a different house, a different dog, and I'd hear different things. And I knew something was going on because it was kind of like my own little voice, but it always kind of came with an attitude. I mean, if they were happy, I felt the happiness with what they were saying. If they were kind of perturbed with what I was doing, then I felt that they were perturbed. So it wasn't just hearing the voice. I had these feelings that went along with it. So I knew something was kind of up. But again, I didn't really know much about animal communication at the time until I stumbled onto Amelia Kincaid's book, which is a huge help to me. So that, and that just kind of led me into a whole new direction then.
And the new direction is amazing because, you know, that's just really quite cool that, you know, you went a new direction, you investigated it, and you really looked to see, you know, how to further it, and you even went as far as to try to, you know, figure out what all was going on with that and how it happened and how you just became so aware. That's fascinating.
Right. Well, thanks. Yeah, I just... there was just something in me that said, you know, learn more about this, you know, do more of this. And so I just kind of kept on. And, you know, I had skeptics around me and even family members that that still to this day don't really fully believe what I'm doing. You know, I have people around me that will still tell me that I'm doing the devil's work, but it doesn't matter to me because I feel like, I mean, I know I have been able to help people and their animals, and that's the main thing. I feel like I'm here for the ones that are open to it and want to listen, and the ones that don't, that's okay too.
Right. So. Well, I think it's just really important that, you know, you, because a lot of us do think we're crazy when we get things or we notice things or things just come to us, but I think that, you know, in the ending we have to remember that, you know, those things were necessary that came to us for that reason.
Totally agree. Yeah. So it's just a matter of, I guess, you know, learning how to quiet your mind and kind of paying attention to what's going on and investigating it, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, and I think that that's just really huge that, you know, you've been able to, you know, go further with it and study it and really find your heart in it because, you know, the way that I see it, it starts with quieting your mind and your heart.
Right, right. And letting the animals know that you love them and that you have nothing but good intentions towards them and that, you know, you're going to do everything you can to help them. I always try to send, you know, love, you know, heart to heart. I always try to have this heart to heart connection with them so that they know that they can trust me. So it really starts with the love, I think, and letting them know that you're sending them love.
Yeah.
You know, like you can't connect with an animal when you're angry. That's just not going to work, you know. It's going to work a lot better if you're sending them love, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, just because the animals are so truthful, to me it would make sense that, you know, since they're truthful with you and they're very loving, that the way to start out would be to have the animal to quiet your mind, to be coming from a loving place and then to move forward. That's totally how you do it. You can't be angry. Or, you know, sometimes when you're sad, I think it can work, but that's mostly an animal comforting you. But from what I could tell from you, you're absolutely right. If you're angry or closed down, it can't happen.
Right, exactly. Or if you're too nervous, they pick up on, you know, your anxiety as well. So you just have to really be in a good place. And it's not that hard to get there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of kind of turning some things off and being open to it. So I just feel really blessed that I was in a place, you know, at the time and kind of still am where I can, you know, sit back and quiet my mind and allow the information to come in. 'Cause it really has changed my life. It's led me in so many different directions. You know, now, I mean, it started out hearing animals that were living, and then it went to hearing animals that are living in spirit, and then from there it went to humans that are living in spirit, and now it's I can communicate with, you know, just about anything. So
see, and that's amazing right there, how the ability has improved from one point to the next. And that must have been you really working on tuning into the skills of everything and what's happened, you know, like taking each step forward.
Right. And it's a lot of, it's taken a lot of work on myself, too. Just getting rid of toxins in my body and learning how to relax and just a lot of different things. You know, there's a lot of things that I had to get rid of and thinking that I had to change, you know, if that makes sense. So a lot of it was me, too.
Right. And it's a growing process. I would imagine
exactly.
That you have to, you know, embark on quieting your mind and learning how to, you know, let these things come in for you.
Right. Exactly. It's still a learning process. I mean, I'm learning new things every day, but just like we all are. So, but it's exciting. It's fun.
Good.
It's been a lot of fun.
Did you have anything that stood out for you, like any? I'm sure you've got tons of stories that you could share about how this or that stood out to you. Do you have any favorites that you might want to share with us about, like, you know, animals talking or what happened?
Well, let's see. There's, like you said, there's so many. I don't even know where to start. There's, you know, like, I love talking with every kind of animal that's out there, horses, dogs, cats, rabbits, snakes, whatever. And I learn a lot from each one of them. But the one that came to mind first was a horse that lives about an hour away from here. I went to visit one time, and there were about five other women standing behind me while I was talking with the horse, and these women had never experienced any kind of animal communication or anything, and the horse started talking to me, and I was relaying to them everything that the horse was saying. His name is Copper, and
mm-hmm.
Copper started, well, I came there with, first of all, I need to back up. I came there wanting to talk with the horse about a specific thing, and when I connected with him, I asked if he would talk to me about this. It was actually about some healing work that the horse was able to do. The horse had actually been able to do some healing work on some people, which is another whole story. But I went there wanting to find out about the healing work that he does, and he's like, I don't want to talk about that. I need to talk about my teeth. And I'm like, okay, well, what's going on with your teeth? And he says, well, they hurt. And he told me it was the whole left side of his mouth was really in pain. And what he would do was, while he's talking to me and telling me about his teeth, he's turning his head towards the five women that were behind me and showing all of them his teeth. And so they knew, what I was saying was kind of matching his actions, if that makes sense. And it was just incredible to watch. So, and then it turned out that, you know, she took him to the vet and found out that he did have some problems with his teeth. And the vet said right away that, yeah, this horse has got to be in considerable pain with his teeth the way they were. So she got those fixed. But anyway, you know, that day there were other things on his mind that he wanted to talk about. And there were a lot of things that he would say, and then he would nod his – I would ask him a question, and while he's saying yes to me, he's nodding his head up and down for a yes, or he's shaking it, you know, back and forth for no. And so the women could see by his actions everything that – his actions were pretty much confirming to me, to all of us actually, what he was saying. And so that was pretty incredible. I mean, horses are so smart. I love talking with horses. But that's just kind of an example, I guess. One that always stands out was copper is so intelligent, and but also, you know, you have to go into it not always expecting to get what you're wanting. You know, let them talk first and tell them what, let them tell you what's on their mind. Later on, we got to the whole healing thing and what he does regarding the healing, but that was not near as important to him as his teeth. So it was pretty incredible.
And that is important, you know, that you were actually able to find out what was going on with the horse and make some things happen there.
Right, right. Because he wasn't going to be able to do what he is really meant to do if he's in pain. So, you know, those things needed to get fixed first, and then he could go back to doing the healing work that he was doing. So
yeah, and that's hugely important.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm trying to think of some other stories.
I was going to say, what kinds of other things have you had happen? You said you like to talk to horses, rabbits, snakes. You know, that must be fascinating.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty neat. I'll never forget the first rabbit that I talked with. I was just bawling. I was just, as soon as I connected, my hands hurt, the bottom of my feet hurt, and I just started crying. It was uncontrollable. Like, I was just feeling all this pain in my hands and my feet and trying to find out, you know, what is going on here? Why do my hands hurt so bad? And turned out it was the rabbit was sitting on a wire cage 24/7. Bottom, can you imagine having your feet sitting on wire 24/7?
Yeah, that would hurt me. Mm-hmm.
You know, you know, that's what people do, and they don't even think about it. But this poor little guy was in incredible pain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thank God his human was open enough to listen and realize then, she didn't know. That's what she was always taught. That was how they always had their rabbits. But so now that rabbit lives in a very nice little condo, but without the wire. But so that's the first rabbit I ever talked with. I guess the first horse that I ever talked with was actually a horse in Germany that the vet had. He had a rare hoof disease, and the vet had said, you know, you really just need to just let him go. Well, the woman refused to hear that, and she was familiar with EFT, the Emotional Freedom Technique, and she was part of a group like I was.
I was just going to ask you about that, because I'm sure people, listeners, would like to hear about EFT, but tell your story first, and then we'll go into what EFT is. You can explain it to people.
So I'm part of this EFT group, and she posted in the group that she would like everyone to start tapping for the horse and the hoof disease. And so a lot of us got together and started tapping for the horse. And about 2 days later, the vet came back out to see the horse and told the lady, you know, I don't know what you're doing, but whatever you're doing, keep doing it, because the hoof is actually getting better. And so then I contacted her, and I said, well, you know, besides doing the EFT, let's find out from the horse what else it needs. So she was open to having me communicate with it, and right away he said, I need iron. I'm really deficient in iron, and it can't be something cheap. The horse said it has to be a good quality iron supplement. And so that was, like I said, the first one that I connected with, and I didn't know what iron would do to a horse. So I got on the internet and looked it up and found out that when a horse is under stress, that's one of the things they need the most is iron. So then I contacted her and I said, you know, this is what I got from the horse and this is what I found out from the internet. So between the iron and the, and I think there was also, we found out there was a, he said too that there was a parasite that he had that was contributing to the hoof disease. So she got the iron, she got the remedy for the parasite, and everybody continued to tap and the horse got better. So that's like one of my favorite stories, I think, about the first horse I ever talked with.
Very nice. Now, explain to everybody what EFT is.
Well, EFT is, it's short for Emotional Freedom Technique, And what it is, it's like acupuncture, but you don't put needles in. It's what you're doing is you're tapping on the meridian points instead of putting needles in the meridian points. And I don't know, people might have to look up what meridians are, but kind of like the Reader's Digest version of meridians is just, it's the wiring that runs through all of us. And the wiring has endpoints that it's kind of like wires in a radio. And you can tap on those points to kind of straighten out your wiring. And how you do it with an animal is you don't physically tap on the animal. You ask your body to be a surrogate for the animal, and then you tap on yourself. And a lot of it, too, is about intention. But you tap for whatever it is. Like the horse was, the horse had the rare hoof disease. We were tapping for the hoof disease. You know, even though I have this rare hoof disease, I deeply and profoundly love and accept myself is the setup phrase. And then from there,
right,
you start tapping on different parts of the body, you know, just shortening it up a little. You know, you tap for this rare hoof disease on down your body, and then until you start feeling releases. And when you have a group of people tapping for the same thing, it's just incredible the healing that you can accomplish. So that's kind of like Reader's Digest
version.
That
was really needed. Yeah, that's really cool. And that was really needed in that moment to practice EFT. So people can do that on an animal and also on a human?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Gary Craig, who kind of like stumbled onto this or discovered it, I guess you'd say, he started it with humans and then figured out that he could do it. You could do it with animals by making your body a surrogate for the animal. You can do it for other humans too, like you can do it for your kids or a crying baby on an airplane. You can ask your body to be a surrogate for that other individual. You know, ask if you have permission to do this, and then you know, just use your body as a surrogate and tap for your child or the crying baby or the animal, whatever it is. It brings about incredible relief. You can do it for headaches. You can do it for back pain. You can do it for emotional relief, just about anything. I tell people just try it, you know. People will ask me, well, can I do it on this? Can I do it on that? And I'm like, well, try it. See what happens, you know. So, and I teach, you know, I think you mentioned earlier that I teach animal communication. There's a lot of other things I teach, too. I have a lot of fun teaching people EFT for their animals and EFT for themselves, too. So EFT is really, along with the animal communication, has really changed my life.
Yeah, and see, those are two big things right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, the EFT, the communication with animals, people really love to, you know, just know what their animals are saying, if they can get along with their owners, you know, what they can do to make things different, you know, is their food good? You know, people like to know those kinds of things.
Yeah, well, you mentioned the food. I've learned a lot about our own food just from the animals, and I've learned a lot about supplements from the animals too. I mean, I was always from little on up open to or interested in herbs and things like that. I mean, I remember growing up, if we had an upset stomach, my mother would grab the peppermint oil and put that in a little glass of water and have us drink it, and it would relieve our stomach ache, you know. So I've always been interested in herbs and oils and things like that, but I've learned even more since connecting with the animals. They've just taught me so much. I mean, I never really knew much about glucosamine, didn't even really know the word until a dog told me about it. And then another time a dog told me about diatomaceous earth. I'm like, what is diatomaceous earth?
I've heard of that supplement before, or I've heard of that food. I think it's a food or a supplement, something that you take.
Yeah. Well, which one? The glucosamine is a supplement.
Diatomaceous
The diatomaceous earth. It actually comes from the earth. It's actually like eating dirt, but there's very little taste to it. It does come from the earth, and it has been proven to get rid of just about any parasite a human or an animal can get. And the vets and our medical doctors, the class on parasites is an elective class. They don't have to take it. And if they do take it, they're only taught about 5 different parasites, maybe even if that, when there's really over 100 different parasites that animals or humans can get. And the diatomaceous earth is really good at helping to get rid of a lot of these parasites, so which is really needed now because, you mentioned the food, and our food is just full of pesticides, which opens the door to parasites, and it's just our bodies are just we just need a lot of help because of the junk that's in our food now. So, and then if I could kind of rant or vent a little bit about the actual food.
I'd like to hear a little bit more about the food and what you have to say.
Well, I've been hearing for years now, practically every dog, every cat, every animal that I've connected with has told me I need to eat what my ancestors ate. I'm tired of this crap that you're giving me. It's making me sick. It's not keeping me healthy. It's genetically modified. I need to eat healthy. I need to eat what my ancestors ate. I have a bag of McDonald's that's 4 years old. I bought it April 10th, 2010. I put it outside. The ants never touched it. The back of the house backs to 14 acres where I knew that there were raccoons and all kinds of stuff. The raccoons, the possum, never touched the food at all. It sat in the backyard for over a week. Nothing ever touched it. I knew we had mice in the garage, so I put the bag of McDonald's in the garage. The mice never ate it. There's no mold on it. It's a hamburger. It's French fries, and it's 4 chicken McNuggets. They are all hard as a rock now, 4 years later. Food is supposed to decompose. It's supposed to get mold on it. There's no trace of mold on any of this. So we're putting this stuff in our body, and our body doesn't know what to do with it. It's the exact same thing that you're giving your animal. You're buying the stuff that's in a bag, the kibble stuff, and giving that to your animal. Your animal doesn't really their body doesn't really have any way to process that or digest it either. It might say in the bag that there's nutrients in it, but their body can't absorb the nutrients, and if they have parasites, the parasites are going to get whatever nutrients there are in the food. You follow me?
I follow you.
A lot of people come to me all the time, please tell me what to do for my dog or my cat, and I'll connect with the dog, and they'll say, well, quit feeding me this crap. Get me, a leg of lamb or some venison or something that I would eat if I were in the wild. They also need things like liquid chlorophyll. You see dogs a lot of times will eat grass, and people say, oh, they're eating the grass because they're sick or because they're trying to make themselves sick. And what will happen is the dog will eat a lot of grass, and they'll end up vomiting. What's happening is the dog knows that it needs the chlorophyll from the grass, but it just doesn't know when to stop because it's so sick, or it knows that it needs a lot of it. So a lot of times they don't know when to stop, so they'll end up getting sick because they've gotten too much But so if people would just get liquid chlorophyll and put that on their animal's food, liquid chlorophyll will help clean the blood and help keep them healthy. We all need liquid chlorophyll. We all need, the chlorophyll from the plants. And the stuff that we're feeding them that's in these bags it's just not really all that good, and it's causing you to actually have to take your dog or cat to the vet more often. It's costing you more money in the long run. one trip to the vet could cost somebody $800, $900, $1,000, just one overnight stay, you know, trying to figure out what's wrong. And a lot of times you end up bringing your animal home and the vet's telling you, well, I haven't figured it out. I don't really know what's wrong. Well, it's nine times out of ten, it's because of the food that you're giving it and the parasites that the dog has now and that kind of thing. So I'm sorry to go on and on about this, but it's just kind of a pet peeve. Yeah. If people would just look more to a species correct diet or try and switch to a raw diet. There's so many books out there that are really good that will teach people how to make the switch. They really need to look at what this animal would have eaten if it were in the wild.
Right.
I said that to one lady one time, and she got kind of upset, and she said, but my animal is domesticated. My animal's not going to eat wild food. And I said to her, I'm like, so what does domesticated mean? Domesticated, in my mind, means that you brought it in the house and you taught it how to tell you when it needs to go outside to go to the bathroom. You know, does domesticated mean that somehow the inside of the animal got changed to accept this junk that's in this bag? You know, the animal's inside is still the same as it was before you brought it in the house. You know what I mean? So the whole thing about, well, my animal needs to eat this stuff from this large company because, you know, because my vet said it should, you know, really? I just always ask people, you know, please look, try and look more at what the animal would eat if it were in the wild. So
They were wondering how you spell diatomaceous. I know somebody in here was asking, you know, did you give a supplement? How do you spell that?
Oh, okay. I know that, let's see here. I think I have it written down here. I know it's D-I-A, hold on just a minute. Sometimes you can do a search for it just with the capital letters D-E, but it's D-I-A-T-O-M-E-C-E-O-U-S.
Okay.
Diatomaceous earth. Another thing that can really help to go along with that, if you suspect that your animal has parasites, would be black walnut hull tincture.
That sounds like a very good tincture that would probably help.
It would. You know, if you look at animals in the wild, when they get sick, they seem to know exactly what plant or, you know, what flower, to eat to make themselves better. And some of them will find a walnut tree and eat the walnuts. A lot of them, like I said, will go and eat the grass, or they might go and try and find some comfrey, C-O-M-F-R-E-Y, the comfrey plant, can be very healing. So comfrey tincture is excellent for animals and humans. Now, I know that a lot of the stuff that I'm talking about, that people are going to go on the Internet and they're going to find articles that say, you know, we have scientific proof that tincture of comfrey is bad for the liver. Well, first of all, look at who wrote the article and if they profited from writing that article. And then also look at what they're really saying. You know, how much did they have to give that mouse or that rat that developed liver problems? How much comfrey did they give that before the rat started having liver problems? You're not going to be giving your animal, you know, tons of this stuff. You're only going to be giving it a dropper full at a time. Does that make sense? You follow
me? That makes
me?
Perfect sense. Yeah.
Okay.
And you are going to find those things online.
Yeah. For every good article about these things that I'm mentioning, you're going to find a bad article. You just use your gut and follow your gut, or, you know, learn how to muscle test. That's another thing. If you can learn how to do what's called the sway test, and, again, ask your body to be a surrogate for Rover, or for your body to be a surrogate for your dog or your cat, whatever, and then muscle test to find out, you know, is this harmful to them or is this going to help them? Those are great ways to figure out, you know, what's needed.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. And, you know, those things are needed and they are necessary. And I agree with you. Every article, every supplement, any kind of supplement, any kind of, you know, dog food even or anything, it's going to have its, you know, articles that are good and articles that are,
right,
you know, odd. And you have to, you know, use your gut. Well, would that help? You know, would this certain formula help this problem? So I totally know where you're coming from, and I get
right.
it. And
right.
yeah, that's really helpful information nutritionally too, Kathy. You've given a lot of helpful information.
Well, thanks. And if I could just add one more thing, you're talking about the articles. That, you know, that brings up another issue, controversial issue, which is vaccines. I am totally against vaccines. I've learned so much from the animals about what these vaccines are doing to them. I mean, the rabies vaccine is actually causing in a lot of our animals what they're trying to prevent. I've had a lot of people come to me and say, my dog never used to bite. My dog never used to be aggressive. Why all of a sudden is he being aggressive? And I tell them, well, after connecting with their dog, I'll find out that it's because this rabies crap, I'm sorry, but it's just what it is in my mind. This rabies toxins that you're giving them is just building up in their system year after year after year, and then finally it's creating in them what you're trying to prevent. You follow me? The other thing is the distemper. The distemper shot is another one. The distemper shot totally affects their central nervous system in an extremely negative way. If you start your animals and start really paying attention to what's going on with them after you give them these shots, you're going to start seeing in your dog the same symptoms that a human would get that has MS. That's what the distemper shot will cause, because it totally affects the central nervous system. You know, and then the other thing is people will come and say, he's so afraid of thunder, and the, you know, every time it thunders or any loud noise, firecrackers or, you know, any sudden loud noise, he gets so upset with. And again, it's these shots. He wasn't like that in the very beginning, but over time, you keep giving these shots to them, you're destroying their central nervous system. So, and there's homeopathics. There's a lot of really good remedies out there that can get the stuff out of their systems. I know that there's laws that say that you have to continue to give them these shots. People are telling me that you can get religious exemptions for your animals, just like you do for your humans. I don't know if that's true everywhere, but I do have clients that tell me that they were able to get a religious exemption for their dog. So, because they don't believe it, so they're not going to give it to their dog either. But then there's other ones that tried it and it didn't work. So what they did was there's homeopathics that they got before and after the dog had to get the shot. So, and other ones were able to spread the shots out a little bit too, so that helps. But I could go on and on about the vaccines. They're just we're killing the animals with these vaccines. Horses too. Oh my gosh, what we're doing to the horses with all these vaccines. I think horses is the one animal that's vaccinated more than any other animal. And it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, very ridiculous.
So
all right, well, we're going to take a really quick commercial break, and then we have some callers who have some questions, and then you know, I'm going to also get you to give out your contact information. I know they can find you at katherinehughes.net. Is there any other way they can get a hold of you?
that's a really good way. I think there's a button on the website that where they can email me, or the email address is just Catherine@CatherineHughes.net. That'd be the easiest way.
Okay, we're going to take a really quick commercial break, and then we'll be right back. You're listening to WGGM Radio. My guest is Catherine Hughes from St. Louis, Missouri. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Our program is being brought to you by ShotNet Web Hosting, reliable web hosting for everyone. Feature rich, reliable, and affordable. Create your own site in minutes with ShotNet's easy-to-use site designer. Monthly plans available that fit any budget. Visit shot-net.com. That's S-H.
You are listening to Messages of Light with Amanda Dowell on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, back to Amanda.
Hey, you are listening to WGGM Radio. This is Messages of Light. You can find Catherine Hughes at catherinehughes.net. You can, our call-in number is 347-237-5339. And now we're going to bring Catherine back. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Amanda.
Okay, we have a caller in the audience here. Are you ready to take some callers?
Sure.
Okay, our first caller is 480 area code. You're on with Amanda and Catherine. How are you?
Hi, ladies. How are you?
We're good.
Good. What can we help you with?
Yeah, my name's Mike, and I'm making a move this week to California. And I noticed my dog, even when I was on vacation in California a week ago and she went with, and, it takes her that almost a week's time to kind of get settled into the new surrounding, and just kind of wanted to get some information on, how I can make that a little bit more seamless for her.
Okay, that's great that you're concerned about that, because I'm sure she's really worried about the whole transition and everything. One of the things is I tell people all the time, you can talk to them the same way you would talk to a four-year-old, and they get it.
Okay.
Just keep telling her over and over again, this is what we're doing, this is why we're doing it, this is how it's going to be when we get there. They're just like little kids. They really want to know what's going on, why are we doing this, what's going to happen when we get there. And just even during the journey there, you're driving there?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if you ever took a trip when you were little, but I remember when we went cross country, it was always, are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Right.
And that's the same way that she's going to be. Just talk to her the whole way and tell her. They think in terms of dark nights. So before you start the journey, if you would talk to her and tell her that it's going to take four dark nights before we get there. She'll understand that, or however many it is, So I would just really talk to her about that. The other thing is try and keep everything as similar or as the same. Try not to change too much, like don't get her a new dog bed right away or things like that.
Okay.
Does she like toys?
Kinda, but the great thing is when we moved from Michigan to Arizona, she 30 hours in the car, she was in heaven. She loves the car, so
car
the ride and so forth.
Okay.
That stuff is, that's the easy thing. It's just getting her acclimated to the new the new surroundings.
Yeah, I'm wondering, Amanda, do we have time for me to maybe connect with her and see what she has to say?
Go right ahead and connect with her. We've got enough time.
Okay. What is her name?
Roxy.
Roxy, and what kind of dog is she, or what color is she?
She's brown. She's a boxer shepherd mix.
Oh, okay, okay. If you can
so
just
like
give
a light
me a minute.
Blonde.
Light blonde, okay.
Well, blonde, brown. In the Arizona sun, she's lightened up.
Oh, okay, okay. Just give me a second here to try and connect with her. Oh, my God. Okay, right away, I can tell she is a sweetheart. She adores you. I feel like she follows you wherever you go. And for some reason, I feel like she kind of like paces. If you go up and down the hall, she's got to follow you up and down the hall. Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So, yeah, I feel like she's really connected with you. Let's see. She is really concerned about the, she says, journey. And she's confirming to me what you just said about rides in the car. She loves rides in the car, especially if she can be up front. So she wants to know, is she going to be allowed up front?
Absolutely.
Okay. With the window down, right?
Well,
halfway down.
We can try.
Okay.
It gets windy doing 75 miles an hour.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So halfway down, or at least cracked a little bit. She likes the window. She just needs the air, for one thing. But
okay.
And then she would really like, why am I seeing liver treats? Can you give her just, can you carry like a cooler with some raw bits of liver?
I could.
Okay, I don't know if you heard earlier about me talking about switching to a raw diet. That's going to be really important.
I did.
There's a lot of iron in liver, and I feel like she's really needing the iron, but also she's wanting to help you with the switch. The other thing, though, is she is really concerned about what's going to happen to you guys when you get there. She says financially she feels like you're going to be okay, but for some reason she doesn't feel like you've picked the right place yet. The place that you're going to, is it just temporary until you find something else?
It's through friends, a roommate situation, and actually she gets a large three-bedroom house with a huge yard. Which she's always been in condos or apartments.
Yeah, I feel like she's loving the yard, but and she loves it. I feel like the space is going to be a little bit bigger, but she feels like you're not going to want to stay there more than 6 or 8 months. I feel like between 8 months and a year, you need to really seriously look for a different place. A place that you can just really call your own. She just feels like this is just going to be temporary. And then the thing about playing in the yard, she says, I'm really looking forward to that, but I don't want that to take the place of the walks. She really needs to still continue to walk with you. And this is what I get all the time, too. Dogs tell me all the time, you know, birds fly, fish swim, dogs walk. They have to walk. And she...
We have quite a regiment here.
Yeah. So she doesn't want any of that to change. So that's another thing you're going to have to keep talking to her about and keep telling her nothing is going to change except how things look. You know, geography is really the only thing that's changing.
Okay.
And then possibly her diet.
Yeah, because usually if I'm like before my move when I'd house sit for my sisters, you know, and watch their dogs, you know, I would you know, again, they have yards, so I'd be like, we wouldn't really do the walks. You know, it's like, all right, great. Now we don't have to. She's got a yard, so that's good to know.
Yeah, because she's saying, ask Dad to put himself in the yard. When you go out in the backyard and you hang around or you run around, chase the ball or whatever, and you play, see what that does to your head and your body and how you feel emotionally and all that. And then take yourself in front and go for a walk and see what that does. It's totally different.
Yeah.
And she really wants to be able to learn her surroundings. And she's telling me that she's a greeter. She has to be able to greet people. And so she wants to be able to go and meet new people around the area.
Gotcha.
I feel like she's very social. Is that true?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So she's excited about the whole thing, but also apprehensive at the same time. But she's
sure.
telling me that she feels that you are really on the right track, that you're really the decisions that you've made recently in this direction, heading here and doing this and everything, is just going to be so much better for you and then for her. Because I feel like she really picks up on everything that's going on. She reads your mind quite a bit. And I don't know, I feel like she's very excited about this. Nervous, but excited.
Oh, sure.
You're going to do really well in this new place.
You know, I get that feeling as well, and I moved from Michigan to Arizona, and I almost think I stopped short, and I should have probably just continued to California.
You're absolutely right, but you're getting there now, so it doesn't matter what's in the past. You're on the right track now, and from what she's telling me, you're just going to soar. Things are just going to really take off, and I also feel like you're going to find the love of your life here too.
Yep. Yeah, I'm intuitive as well, and I pick that up as that this is what it's supposed to be.
Yeah. She's doing fine, and she says you're doing great too. Once we get there, everything will be fine.
Awesome.
So I hope
that
helps.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Take care. We have another caller in here that has their hand up, and it's area code 920. You're on with Amanda and Catherine. How can we help you?
Can you hello?
Yes,
hi.
We can hear you.
Hi there.
Are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, my question to you is, I have two little dogs, a little white male and then a little black and white girl, Pomeranian or Shih Tzu is a black and white one and female, and the male is a Bichon. I got the Bichon, the little white one, first, and he's a big mama's baby. And I'm gone fairly often, so I felt guilty about leaving the little Charlie alone. So I got this little girl, and I thought they'd be great friends. Well, she really is aggressive, and I guess I'm wondering if you can tell me, is my little male, the Charlie, that dislikes the little female and that jealous of her?
Okay. What's his name?
The male is Charlie.
Okay.
That's the little Bichon.
Okay.
And the female, the little aggressive one, is Stella.
Okay, let me see. Who should I talk with? I'm going to talk with Charlie. Okay. Charlie's a little cutie pie.
Yes, he is.
Okay. The other thing about Charlie is, I feel like he's showing me kind of, okay, before the little girl came in, he says, I was king of the house. He's showing me him prancing around, and I feel like he likes to be groomed. He likes to have his picture taken. I feel like you can dress him up, and he loves it. Is that true?
That is.
Okay. I feel like you have several little outfits for him. He's telling me that he hasn't worn too many of them lately, and he would like to go back to wearing some of them again. Is that true?
Oh, that's true.
Okay.
I haven't been dressing actually neither one up.
You haven't been?
No.
Okay. But you used to with him especially.
I did.
Okay. He wants to go back to that. But not her. He doesn't like it when you dress up the two of them. He wants to feel special again, and he wants to look different, or he says better than her, because he says, quite frankly, she's a little bitch. And can
yes,
I say, I'm
is.
Sorry to say that on the radio. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
but I'm just repeating what he said. And he says, Mom, I was fine. I know you thought I was lonely, but I was fine before she came here. He says that at the same time, though, I do like that there's somebody else here in the house. I just wish that she could be a little different. He's saying maybe you should talk to her and scold her for her bad behavior, because She wants to be the queen. She's more of an alpha, and she just wants to take over. She thinks that this is her house, and somebody needs to let her know that this is not her house. So what he's asking me to ask you to do is to look her in the eye, just like you would a kid, and tell her that this is unacceptable, that you're not going to tolerate this. She needs to go in time out and stay there and stick to it, he says. You sometimes put her in time out, but you don't stick to it.
She'll go and steal his toys, and he does nothing. He's got these worms, and that's all he plays with. And she just goes and takes it from him, and he just lets her do anything she wants.
Yeah, she gets by with a lot. And he says, it's okay. He says, I've got to pick my battles. There is a large part of me that's glad that she's here because in a lot of ways she is very entertaining, but she doesn't respect anybody's boundaries. She doesn't respect me at all. She doesn't respect you. She pretty much runs circles around you. And she feels that she kind of has you wrapped around her little finger. So is there a little crate that you put her in?
Yeah, there is.
Okay.
But she's really, really naughty.
Yeah. He doesn't think she goes in there enough. And even though she makes a lot of noise when she goes in there, he says if you could just ignore the noise for a little bit, she'll calm down. What else? Well, he just says you try to discipline her, but you don't stick to your discipline. You give in to her too easy. So
right.
he says part of this is your fault, Mom, if truth be told, because you don't stick to the discipline. If you're going to put her in timeout, she needs to stay in timeout. She just thinks that she can get away with so much because you let her get away with it.
Right.
Would you agree? Does that make sense?
Right. Totally. The other thing is, I said Charlie only plays the male with these unstuffed, they look like worms, and they're not stuffed, but he chews and chews, and then he eats it.
Okay.
That I have to keep him away. What can I do to get him so he doesn't be eating this material?
Okay. I do feel like he has a lot of anxiety. And it's coming out his teeth. He has to chew. If it wasn't this, I feel like it would be something else that he would be chewing on.
But he's got so many, I mean, there are so many other toys, you know, for him to play with, but he only likes the worms.
Oh, okay. If the other toys didn't have stuffing in them, he'd be chewing those too. There's something about the stuffing he doesn't like.
But I mean, he's got rubber toys, all different things, but he just picks on these worms, and then, like I said, I'm afraid because he eats it, so I have to take him away when I'm not around.
Yeah, I don't feel like he's going to be honest with me about what's really going on with those, because he doesn't want you to take them away. There's something about those he really likes.
Yeah.
But I do feel like you need to take them away and keep them away.
So he doesn't have them. He sits and cries and cries and cries till I will get one out.
What is that, Charlie? There's something about those he really likes. Have you ever given him a Kong that you put peanut butter in?
Oh yeah, yeah. I've tried everything.
But he'll eat that if you give him the Kong. He'll do that instead, won't he?
Sure, but then when it's the biscuits out of it, you know, he's done. And then he goes and gets his worm. I mean, that worm is like it's his security blanket.
Yeah. It is like his baby. I think you're just going to have to let him have it. There is some kind of attachment there that he's not telling me.
I'm afraid that he's going to eat this material, you know, and the string is going to, you know, get stuck in his... that I literally watch him, and when I see he gets a piece, well, then I'll grab it out of his mouth.
Okay.
You know, and then he goes and he just chews and chews till he gets another piece, you know, that's hanging, and then I'll go and I'll grab it and I'll rip that off. You know, but if I'm not there to see him, he'll just eat it.
Yeah, you really need to keep it away from him if you can. And find some kind of substitute that's more like a food or, you know, a real bone or something that he could chew on instead.
Yeah, I buy him those bully sticks because he loves those.
Yeah.
And, like, he'll chew on that for, you know, a half an hour or so. But then, you know, he's done and he'll go get his worm again.
Okay. I don't know if we're going to get to the bottom of this with him. He doesn't want to talk about it. I would try and give him, like the gentleman before, if you could give him some raw liver treats instead, and maybe give him some bones. Just really keep an eye on him with that toy.
Yeah. All righty. Well, thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
All right, Catherine. It's been wonderful. Thank you for coming on the show today.
Well, thank you for having me, Amanda.
All right, and I will have you on again next time. It was a pleasure.
Well, thanks. It was a lot of fun. Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Hello, 314. How can we help you? 314-550. You're on the air? All right. Thank you.
I'm wide awake.